God bless you, my children. So we are once again increasing our numbers. Those of you returning to the fold, ready to resume again this work of God, this work of love, in order that the Spirit may manifest itself in the hearts of all of you, to fulfill His word, and to keep His peace in your heart. So it will be. Now, Brother John, talk away the Marcello now. Spare me.
Prize to hang you first and soon.
Where you go? Oh, Father.
You're hovering on the outskirts, as it were, ready to pop in.
See, I have been waiting patiently, ready to begin. But we understand there are things to be done here also in preparation. You must give yourselves a moment of respite in order to contain yourselves and feel spirit move within, and so be at peace with yourselves. What would you have us talk of now, brother?
Well, we talked last week, Marcel, that we would, in this phase, we would ask you to select the subjects. Remember?
See, this is so. So you would wish I would talk with you on a subject chosen from my heart.
Chosen by Spirit, chosen by your brethren.
See. So then, let us talk. As the children, to begin, let us talk about this word love. What is love? What does it mean to us? How does it become such a gentle, yet a powerful, all-being thing? It is, as we know, the breath of God. It is His wish, His desire. As you know, there are times when you can walk in among your fellow men, and you can feel love and acceptance and joy and well-being among yourselves, as indeed you do now. Think of it on a much larger scale. Think of it when this Spirit of God touches the earth and enters into the hearts of those of His children who will believe on Him and who will follow Him. Love is the vibration of God permeating itself in the hearts of mankind. Love is the true essence of your being. Love is the true essence of joy. Joy is an expression of love. Sympathy is an expression of love and understanding. Healing is an even greater expression of love. It is an expression of God. Joy is an expression of God. Understanding is an expression of all these things. It is the God power manifesting itself within the hearts of men. And if we go back before the time of Christ, and we reach out and touch with our understanding and our seeking those of the prophets before Him, all of them were touched by the love of God. They all knew that there was this great power around them, which they could not see, could not touch, only feel within. And it was this power which became the driving force within them to take this feeling they had and try to share it with their fellow men. And so often they tried in vain to touch the hearts of their fellow beings, for in such times as these they were ignorant to people, and they were lost, they were violent, corrupt, they were touched by all these lower things of the earth, by greed and want, by avarice, lust, thieving, murdering, and all these other corrupt things which have dwelt on this earth plane since time began. And so you see, when these great prophets before the Master took upon themselves this command from God to teach men to love, to be as he is, and to teach men to be so, they were taking upon themselves a mammoth task. A task which was indescribable, but surely and gently they began to succeed. Some would follow, some would fail. And so it was that the Master saw this. And God in his wisdom understood that the only other way for man to be taught the true values of love and to identify the Spirit of God within him was to put before them a living example, a perfect manifestation of the Spirit of God, born within a man, a simple, humble man, born of a simple, humble woman. And he chose this to be so, because in his wisdom he knew that the mighty and the proud were not the ones to bear such a privilege as this. For they were too enamored and affected by their ego, and they would have considered themselves even greater and even mightier if this had been bestowed upon them, and would have returned it to fulfill their own material purposes on earth. And so it was that God, in his love, chose to bestow this precious gift upon the humble, upon the meek. And even then, the mighty sought to destroy him, not because of his gift, but because they were afraid that he would destroy them with this almighty hold that he was beginning to gain over the hearts of mankind. They could not equate with love as opposed to the power of a weapon in their hand, or the force of their command, because that they were kings and whatever else they were. And so Christ bore this enormous burden, a burden which he could not have borne to the age of an old, old man. He was too great. And God in his love knew this. And he knew also that through the suffering of this chosen child, man would finally come to understand. And love is the greatest force on earth. And he sees this manifesting in his actions even today. the example of love, the words of love, the deeds of love, the sacrifices of love, the giving of love, all these things were made manifest in the hearts of mankind simply through the example of one man, one simple life, bringing to mankind one simple truth. Love ye one another as I have loved you. Be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light. All of these things he taught, and he taught them not to the high and mighty. He taught them to the humble and the meek, to the ordinary man and the woman, to the child, knowing that this love would rise up into their hearts and become of a great importance to them. They began to understand the power of love, the joy of love, and all its many blessings which were to follow as a result of this perfect love for one another. They began to understand that by loving one another they could detach and heal. By loving one another, they could talk to their Father and he would hear them. And he would bless those they prayed for, just as he does now. They learned also through the experience of Lazarus that death was not a final thing. It could be defeated. It was not the end. And through faith and belief in God, death was just but another experience in life. I have heard many times that he has been described as a rebirth. I will describe it as a transcendence from one awareness into another, a growing of the spirit, a phase of evolution. Made it simple to understand and to accept simply because there was love. There was peace born of love. And from this came the joy of understanding that when transcendence takes place, there is a new awakening to an even greater love. There is no love greater than the love that you can show to God simply by blessing your fellow men, by receiving them even though they may persecute you, even though they may turn against you and say all manner of things against you, as he said in the psalm, despitefully use you. So you see, this is love. You are experiencing love at this moment. You are experiencing a true love because you love one another. You accept one another into your auras. And because of this, your auras gleam. And you tread forward gently and softly along a pathway unknown to you, my being, and yet in faith you still journey on, knowing that God is there to uphold you and his strength. And through love you accept among you Marcello and Brother Augustus Emmanuel, and at some time to come there will be Kim the Sun and Silver Water, and also Missouri. All this will come in love. They will come in a divine love, with a divine cause, fulfilled within themselves by the Spirit of God, blessed and enhanced through the example Spirit of Christ, who saved mankind from his own destruction. And but for mankind's belief in the Spirit of Christ and all other administering angels, such as the prophets before him and the saints, by their example also, man will gently evolve and will rise up against those who have warring in their hearts, and they will put aside those who speak with deceit and falsehood, and they will turn away from those who are corrupt and who will violate the laws of God, because the strength and the love of God is growing day by day. And I know, Brother John, some times when you stand in your temple of love and you preach to the masses, as the words tumble from your mouth, sometimes the thought enters into your heart, are they hearing me? Have they truly understood? Are they listening as the children? Or are they listening to high and proud adults, believing themselves to be above all these things, and turn away and put aside those words you have spoken with so much love and feeling, and continued on as they were, unmoved, unaffected? Let me answer this question for you, Brother John. There is not a word which leaves your mouth in the cause of God which is wasted. But remember the parable of the sower and the seed, Brother John. Your words sometimes will fall on stony ground and close the ears and stubborn minds, and will not grow. But many of your words, Brother John, will fall into the ears of the blessed and will be received and will overgrow those ones which turned to weeds and tares and will not grow. Neither will they flourish, should they ever try to grow. You understand this, Brother John? So you see, be of a contrite heart, be of a good resolve, and know that even if the one who has received your words is a tiny bambino, the love of God has been planted on this earth and will grow, because you have said so. Is this make you content now, Brother John?
Yes, that's sure.
See, I have rambled on a long time now. Is there anyone else who would wish to talk with my gentleman? Have you understood what I have said to you?
Yes,
do you understand the purpose of love now? I have spoken to you as the children, because I want you to grow as children. I want you to grow with the spiritual love in your heart. I want you to grow with the love of God foremost in all you do. I want you to grow being able to forgive, to forget, understand, to share compassion with those who will turn away from you, and not to turn away from them, nor pursue them too heavily, for this will only deter them and frighten them away, and make them angry and cross. Talk to them gently, and ask the Father that you may be enriched with the ability to show them, not simply by words, but by example, by the deeds of your heart. They will come. They will follow. They will know joy, as you know joy. And in knowing joy, they will know the sanctuary of love, the love of God. And once again, become secure in their being. You understand what I am saying. Who now will talk with them and challenge them? No one will talk.
Being. The parable of the sheep and the goats has upset some people through the ages. Would you like to speak on this parable?
Philippi, tell mashallah what upsets them of this parable.
Well, it's like the wheat and the tares, really. People who represent the tares will be cast into an everlasting fire where that may be figurative, but they've gone on to think that some are lost and will not be admitted into the kingdom. I find this a
repugnant
interpretation.
See, and I wholeheartedly agree with you, Brother John. Not one of his children are lost to him. And even those of whom I spoke to you some time ago, who, because they have fail to receive God into their heart, find themselves wandering in the spheres of darkness, if you wish. Even the Father knows of this. He knows they are there. And where is this great furnace of which you talk? There is no such thing. This again, dear Brother John, takes me back to a teaching I gave you some time ago, whereby I said to you, man will create all sorts of devils in his mind because he wants others to fear them. And the Holy Church, as it calls itself, is a greater offender of this. They will preach of this hellfire, does not exist. It only exists in their heart. And they are the only ones who can put it out by becoming familiar with the true purpose of God in mankind. And so it is with this parable of the sheep and the goats. What Christ was saying was that they are one. One is a more violent one than the other. He is prone to attack. He has the long horns. He looks ferocious. They are just a comparison. The lamb is the symbol of gentleness and of love. A little creature which is born with fear in his heart because it is by nature so timid. Whereas the goat is so much more brazen by nature. Simply examples, Brother John. All of these explanations, Brother John, are so basic, even a little bambino can understand. And so you see, your forefathers of this holy church, who were so enriched by all these great power they had around them, struck fear into the hearts of the meek and the humble by telling such ridiculous stories as this. And unfortunately, still they live on today. And you have this almighty task, Brother John, of removing this fear from their hearts and to teach them the things I have just taught you of love, the simplicity and beauty of love. Take away all these man-made myths which have struck so much fear into the hearts of so many dear and humble children, and even into the proud and the mighty also. Man is his own worst enemy, Brother John. And he will very often be guilty of destroying himself simply through his own foolish thoughts and creating his own foolish fears and refusing to accept what you call these basic truths, a simple truth, as Christ taught it. It was a simple comparison between two beasts of the field. They are still children of God. You understand this now, brother? Have I explained for you now?
Indeed.
Me, to me. And will you please explain it to your flock? Even the ram who has horns is also a sheep. So he's no different to a goat. You contain them now. Who else now? Who will talk with my child? Don't waste these moments with silence. Speak your heart.
Say. I find it difficult. People sometimes speak with me and say, how can we have a God of love who sends suffering? And I understand myself, but how do you explain to them that the suffering comes from the world, that God would not send suffering to make people unhappy? Or am I wrong?
Tell me about this brave attempt, and no, you are not wrong. You are perfectly correct in what you say, basically. I like this word, Brother John. I will use it many times now. Thank you and bless you for teaching me another word. What's that? Cease doing. Man, as I have explained many, many, many times before, I have no doubt will explain many, many times in the future. Man was given this earth to create with it what he will. And in order to do this, he was blessed with his greatest gift, his free will. If he will take these things from the earth, which will corrupt, decay and destroy mankind, this is not the cause of God. It is the cause of man. And so man must live with his own corrupt ways until he learns different through the example of ones such as yourselves who are born to love. And so it will go. And as I said to you in my little teaching, slowly this word of love is coming to the surface. And there are whole continents of people now who are rebelling against oppression of this kind, the kind of oppression which destroys man. Because there is love in their hearts. And even in recent days, in this land of Kim Thusan, is it not so that these young people who have seen the vision of love and goodness did not turn on those who would have been their oppressors, but they befriended them, and so melted the hearts of the oppressors? This is a true example of what the power of love can do. And slowly this is growing, so that those who will oppress and destroy will in the time to come see the error of the wise through the example of those who will love. And those who will walk in the fear of the Lord will blame him for everything which happens on this earth plane. Not always because they don't understand, but sometimes, and very often I'm afraid, because they fear God to such an extent that they believe to love him is to remain powerless, which indeed it is. Powerless of material force, but powerful in spiritual love. So those who believe in love and peace will always overcome and raise up and exceed those who will oppress and destroy. And if man will take the soil from the earth and the minerals from the earth and create for himself weapons of destruction, even chemicals of the poison and decay, which will destroy the human body, then he must live with this until he learns to understand that these things which have these destructive qualities, when used in the correct way, have all the qualities of growth and enrichment, of love, of healing. It's man's own free will which dictates the course of his being and the course of mankind here on earth. You understand this, sister Wendy? Is this content you now? Pain me. Who else will talk with Marcello now?
A couple of questions, really. You were talking about just now the fact that the destruction of the earth is chemical. We all know that it's getting worse and worse. And to lots of people, there doesn't seem to be a way backwards.
Could the earth be, I don't know, revitalized, the earth is poisoned, the air is poisoned, with chemicals, with fumes, with acid rain, with healing, and love, correct us? See, is it really that simple? Love is a simple thing, is a simple truth, complicated, by the confusion of mankind. And I have no doubt that Brother John has seen examples of this many times in his work. You talk of chemicals which will destroy the earth, Sister Valerie. I was talking of these chemicals with which mankind can destroy himself. He will not destroy the earth, because God created this earth. And man will not destroy what the Lord in his love and wisdom has created. But he will corrupt it with these many things he has in his hands. And he will make growth in many places impossible because of his stupidity and misuse of the things he has with which he can heal. If only he understood. This state of which mankind is in at the moment is a state foreseen by God. And as is everything, a boil on your neck must reach a certain pitch before it can be truly destroyed, never to return. And this horrible state of being that mankind has reached is going to reach a pitch with which it will destroy itself, and love will take its place, healing will take its place. The Spirit of God will become more and more manifest upon this earth, because man has proven by demonstration of his own stupidity just how destructive he can be for no cause at all, only his own. The cause of God will rise up in the hearts of many on this earth plane, and is doing so at this moment. So many people are talking of peace and love. So many are striving to make these warring ones understand the futility of self-destruction. And where will they go when they have destroyed themselves? I will tell you, they will wander in this abyss of darkness of which I have spoken before. The plains, if you wish, of the unlearned. Shall we call them this? Is better than talking of darkness. The plains of the unlearned, who have failed to realize the Spirit of God and to make it manifest within his heart. And he will wander these plains of unlearnedness until he learns, simply by seeing again the earth plane which he tried to destroy, and recognizing and seeing the power of love in the hearts of such as those of you who will sit here and conduct what you will call a rescue, taking them from the darkness, explaining to them who and what they are and why they are there, and encouraging them to journey on into the light. Your work for God is an unceasing work and has many channels and avenues through which to permeate itself into these planes of the unlearned and unenlightened, remembering that they are only there because of their foolishness and their stupidity, their blindness, and their blank refusal to expect and accept the love of God to be within them. Do you understand this, Sister Barbara? Is this an answer for your question now? Who else now will talk with Marcello? It's nice for Marcello to hear the voice of all of you. However simple your question is, I will make it a simple answer. Speak now. Don't be afraid. You know I love you. Speak.
I was wondering if the spirit of Master Dan that has gone before, was he very special?
Punto.
Rejection and things. There are many things seem to come to be with
any
projector.
Mamma mia.
His special insight.
Alma Maria, where is Christy for now? Donosse, I will tell you this, my child. I will tell you with joy. In many circles, and in the Holy Church, Nostradamus was looked upon as a mystic, as an evil one, because he would say all sorts of things which man did not want to believe of himself. And they knew again that it was true, or if not proven truth, it was a possible prophecy. Nostradamus was a man born with insight, and he has tried to show to mankind the warnings of his own stupidity, the possibilities of what will happen. It's not so much he saw these things happening, but his understanding was such that he could do his counting very well. I believe you call it sums. He could do it well. He could add up all these possibilities and see them clearly before him, if not in reality, but in possibility. And he tried to warn men so. He tried to help men to see the world as he could see it. He did it in a simple way, by creating for them a poem, a rhyme, a sonnet. But they only scoffed and laughed, and made use and abuse of his words. But he was an enlightened spirit, who was fulfilling his task upon this earth, in that he was trying to point out, through his own revelations, within his own understanding, all the possibilities which would evolve if man does not correct himself and walk a pathway of love, peace and understanding. And even now, there are prophecies he has made, which I would dearly love to see, with this growing enlightenment of mankind, to be proved wrong. But if a man continues to go on as he will, then Nostradamus will be proved right, because it is an obvious conclusion, both to him and to anyone else who has a loving heart and a spirit of reason, and able to recognize the futility of stupidity and of ignorance and of violence. When man is able to identify these within himself in a true sense, then Nostradamus will be wrong, and he would be a very, very happy man. Is this answer for your question, Marie? Excellent. Will you convey these things to my brother Christopher, Sister Charlie?
Oh,
is it you wish to talk with myself?
Well, I'm so interested in the questions and the answers that you've given. But I haven't really got a question that springs to mind, because I've been too busy listening.
Si. Ecco me.
I'll try to think one up for next week. I really can't think of a relevant one at the moment.
Sister Jacqueline, I will diverse a little bit from the subject we have been talking, to bring a little peace of mind into your heart. Your papari is in the hands of your brother Gaspar Emmanuel, and he is well cared for, and he is safe. He is safer from anything which is detrimental to his spirit. You understand me? And he is free from his own suffering. He has no knowledge of the torments of his mortal frame. And yes, he will, in a short time, hear the call of God. And he will enter into this kingdom peacefully and in great love and joy. and he will rest from his earthly labors and his toils. His spirit will be taken and cleansed and healed and blessed and renewed and revived according to God's law. And there will not be the sadness, nor the torment, nor the toil which many will fear from this occasion. It's not my privilege, nor is it my duty, as the servant of his peace, to tell you exactly when this will be. I do not know, and neither does any other spirit around him. All is in the hand of God, and he will go into these realms only when the Father deems it to call him, and that will be in the true and the perfect time. Is this to make you content now, my child? And will it take away the fear from your heart?
Yes,
it will. Do not consider him as a sufferer, but one who is just waiting to transcend into a new light and a new love.
Yes, very comforting.
Thank you. Now what of my sister Beryl, this blessed one, what would you say to my child?
I can only think of a very simple question, not very deep at all.
See, they are always the ones I love.
Sat here wondering if you are pleased with us and how we are sort of transcribing and translating your teaching.
Eccomi.
Everything is okay.
Sister Beryl, if all was not as it should be, I would not be here, and you would all be sitting here in vain, twiddling your thumbs, saying, when is he coming? When is it going to happen? And I would whisper in the ear of one of you. I would whisper in the one of your ears and say, when you are ready, in your hearts. And I know you are ready in your hearts. And I know that with the coming of a new experience and stepping out of the environment which you have sat so patiently and learned from the beginning to now, is a strange experience, because it's a new one. But gently and gradually, you will grow into this way of thinking and understanding. And you will gradually and gently receive into your understanding a true conception of what these moments of love are intended for, and they will be fulfilled. And I will say this also, Sister Beryl, I consider it, humbly so, a blessed joy and a privilege to sit in the presence of such children as yourselves. And when I am not here, often I will kneel him, bless him and praise him and glorify his name for allowing such a humble servant as Marcello to work in his cause and to serve the children such as yourselves and to work in the shadow of the brother Gustus Emmanuel. Because of you, I grow. Because of your praise, and because of the harmonious love which must and does exist, I am permitted to evolve through your grace and through your presence. And I am eternally humble and filled with the thanksgiving and praise for such moments as this and for such children as yourselves to accept me in your place of worship and into your hearts. Is this answer for your question?
Mm-hmm.
May the Lord have mercy. I will give the last word to you, Brother John.
Sure.
What will you say now? Have we covered all points for
you? Well, yes. Time's moving on, my son. If I'm going to ask you a question, I would very much like the answer for the subject for next week. What is the cause of insanity? Why are our hospitals, our mental hospitals, so full? So can that be thought of for next week, possibly?
You wish me to answer now or next time you come?
No. Make the time's moving on.
This we will do. We will do it with joy.
Thank you.
Best of my heart. I thank you for the privilege of being able to answer this question for you in time to come.
Thanks indeed to you.
Thank you, my friend. Is the time in truth I must leave you now. I want you to remember those the simple truths I have given you, the simple description of love. It is a true conception of the Spirit of God within you, making itself manifest in your heart. This is love. God bless you.
Thank you.
Bless you, my children.
Bless you.
Brother John, in love you were born. In love you will grow. In love you will teach. In love you will receive perfection. I say this to all. It is sung among you. Let the words of your mouth and the meditations of your heart be acceptable in his sight here this night. And I say this to you, that all those words you speak be words of love. Let the peace which enters into your hearts through your meditation be the peace of God. Let the thoughts which lay behind your meditation be thoughts of love, gentleness, and of praise to the Father, and in turn to one another. Let there be no harshness. Let there be no turmoil in your thinking. You are complete, but for your brother Christopher. And thus you shall remain, held and bonded through the love of Christ our Savior, dedicating yourself to the cause of the enlightenment of mankind, not through deep unfathomable scriptures, but from words of simple love and truth. And we pray to this cause, we pray to this end, that the Father shall know you for all that you are, all that you shall aspire to be in service to his name. Shall we pray, my children? O Lord of love, O giver of life, bless, we beseech thee, these thy children. And grant, O Lord, that they may feel from my hands thy gentle power and thy presence. Cleanse them, O Lord. Bless them, enrichen them, care for them and keep them forever in thy loving care. Unfold their understanding, open their spiritual eyes, and fill the words of their mouth with words of love and peace. Let purity come forth, O Lord. Let understanding and acceptance of each and every one of them be among them. They will receive themselves and each other for who and what they are. Your children, your servants. May the love of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with you and dwell in your hearts and in your minds and understanding. May he ever walk in your presence, and may you walk in him. That there may be a bond of eternal and deep love, enriching your lives in and through his eternal peace. May the love of the Father Almighty, and may the Spirit of the Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, born of the one true living God, dwell and remain in your heart and enrichen you and bless you and keep you all the days of your life. Amen. God bless you, my children. Go in peace.